Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and if you need to have something that's going to lift up your mind, your attitudes, your heart, your spirit, whatever term you want to use, I think this next half hour is going to be just for you. Why? Because we are going to tell you all about the Complete Idiot's Guide to Short Meditation. Now, I'm not calling you an idiot. But have you ever felt like, gee, if there was something I could do just to make myself feel better? Meditation is a wonderful tool. These are meditations to quiet your mind and soothe your soul. Susan Gregg is the author of this wonderful book. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's fun. Now, I do have to let my listeners know that you're in balmy, absolutely gorgeous Hawaii.
Yes, I am. Somebody's got to live here. It's a hard job.
I know. It's just so tough.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, you're really sacrificing a lot to live in that absolutely magnificent environment.
Yes, and, you know, I'll gladly do it for you.
Oh, gee, thank you. Susan, you have been involved with meditation for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And born and raised in New York City, you had the opportunity to move to Vermont in your teens. And, of course, those are like two different worlds entirely.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated from the University of Vermont with a BA in mathematics, and you realized early on, because you had a personal challenge of your own that this addressed and helped you change your life and your thinking, and you ended up moving to Hawaii after some other things that have been going on, and you got a doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy, and you have a private practice, and you write. You've done a number of books. You have done magazine articles. You really love this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what it was that triggered this journey. I mean, here you started off with a BA in mathematics. I'm sure you never in your wildest dreams thought you were going to be writing the Complete Idiot's Guide to Short Meditations in the future.
No, I didn't. I had no idea that I was going to be doing any of this. Yeah, what really started the process, well, you know, a combination of things, childhood, all that good stuff. And then my early 30s, my mother was killed in a car accident. And she and I were pretty close, and we talked several times a day on the phone. And when she died, I was devastated. It just threw my entire world into a turmoil. And I was kind of like a ship without a rudder. And fast forward a couple of years, I managed to, I was a stained glass artist at the time, and I had a retail store in a beautiful location. It was on a river, and I sold plants and stained glass, and it was a magical little kingdom there, but I lost all focus, and I wound up losing my business and being unemployable for a while and unemployed, and a New Age bookstore had just opened in town, and I was always an avid reader, and I started reading a variety of books on self-help, spirituality, abundance, that sort of thing. And in the 70s, when the Beatles brought the Maharishi here, you know, and started meditating, I thought that sounded like a good idea. And so I had started meditating a number of years before, but really hadn't kept it up that much. And I began to meditate again, and, you know, those little serendipities, those little magical occurrences, and I wound up leaving Vermont and moving to California. And when I moved to California, I didn't know anybody, and a friend of mine had given me the name and address of a spiritualist church, and interestingly enough, I looked in the paper on Saturday, and there was a different name of a church, different time, same address, and I figured, well, how many churches can there be in the same building? And I wound up going there, and wonderful experience, and I walked in, and this woman that was in her late 70s embraced me warmly and told everybody I was a teacher and a healer, and I just figured she was a little bit wacky, and she, you know, she's from California, because I wasn't into any of that
stuff. California, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the beginning of the journey. I mean, she literally, she suggested different classes I took and I should take and stuff like that. And, you know, as it happens in life, one thing led to another, and spirituality became the main focus of my life. And really totally transformed it, because I was very depressed and suicidal most of my early life. And I'm certainly not that anymore. And I wake up in the morning and I'm just really glad to be alive. And I get to talk to wonderful people like you. And in a few weeks, I'm leaving for Lithuania. I'm a best-selling author in Lithuania. And so I go and I work there for a couple of weeks every year. And I'm going to get to take a group of people actually into Stonehenge and do a ceremony there. So, you know, that magical piece of life when we get out of our own way and just allow our lives to unfold, it's just, to me, it's just absolutely amazing.
It truly is. It has a magic all of its own, and when you experience it, you never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about your book. Now,
sure.
How in the world did you get to do the Complete Idiot's Guide?
Well, actually, through my agent, you know, my literary agent, she called me up one day and she said, how would you like to write a idiot's guide about meditations? And I said, well, sounds like a good idea. And whenever I do a group with people, I always do a guided meditation. So it was a real natural for me. I just love meditations and I love guided meditations. So I put together a short proposal and they said, yeah, go for it, write it. And so that's what I did. And actually, I was just about finishing it last year this time before I went to Lithuania then, so.
Now, your book has four parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part of the book, I'll mention them. Part one is how to use my brain. Part
mm-hmm.
two is that's life. Part three is how else can I do that? And part four is so now what?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start out with so that's how to use my brain. You have a wonderful quote by John Ruskin. Life is a magic vase filled to the brim. So made that you cannot dip into it nor draw from it, but it overflows into the hand that drops treasures into it. Drop in malice, and it overflows hate. Drop in charity, and it overflows love. I loved that quote.
Thank you.
That was just a wonderful quote. Let's talk about the virtual chemical factory that is always manufacturing goodies. Let's talk about the brain. Give us a little
sure.
bit of background on the brain.
Yeah, the brain is just an amazing biocomputer. It operates so much better than any of the computers that we've designed. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, it's either this magnetical electric thing or it's a chemist. And we have a thought, and it literally affects our entire body. I'm sure everybody out there has had the opportunity to get startled by something, and your heart races, and you know, and you just get all jittery, you know, fight or flight syndrome, or you know, you've had the experience of falling in love with somebody, and all of a sudden you have all sorts of other chemicals gushing through your body, and our brain is just amazing. It has the ability to regulate all sorts of things in our body, and one of the things it regulates is the chemicals that we pump into it, our little neural peptides. And if anybody's seen the movie What the Bleep, I love the scene in there where they have these cartoon characters and they represent our neural peptides, those chemicals that rush through our body based on our emotions. And it's a wonderful scene because it really gives you that vivid picture of what happens in our body. You know, like the quote says, anger, you know, you get back anger. You think love and you get back love, and it's on a chemical level. And then, you know, most of my studies were indigenous cultures and shamanism and Toltec tradition and stuff, and they talk about the world as an energy system. And energetically too, if you walk into a room and somebody's just had an argument with somebody, you can palpably feel the anger. So
mm-hmm.
not only does our brain create all these chemicals, it's like we put out this energy, you know, bad vibes back from the 60s. But so it works on many, many different levels. And if one of the things I'm very fond of saying is life is, and then we tell ourselves a story. And based on the story, we have an experience. Our experience is not at all based on what's happening in our life. It's based on what we tell ourselves about what's happening in our life. And then based on that story, our mind produces chemicals and brain waves that are consistent with the story.
You know, that is so much of the mind-body-spirit connection that has been brought forth more and more and more. I related yesterday on my program a story of a woman that had a terminal situation, a very bad situation physiologically, and she got involved with gardening. And whenever she started to feel stressed, she just did the gardening. She went out there. And then one day, after certain treatments she had gone through, the doctors were amazed. There wasn't a sign of anything. Gone. She had literally utilized the energy of her garden, and for her it was a meditation. It was an active meditation with nature. And I think that that is so important, because the body then, when you're in a harmony with yourself, the body then can do what it needs to do to create the wellness for someone.
Yeah, I mean, our bodies have the capacity. They know how to balance themselves. They know how to heal themselves. I mean, we get a cut and we don't have to do anything. We don't have to affirm anything. Our body just heals it. And it's amazing what our body, mind, spirit connection can do. And, you know, kind of like life, when we get out of our body's way, our body can maintain that balance and harmony. And to me, that's the wonderful gift of learning how to use our minds differently. We can use our minds to heal our life, or we can use our minds to create chaos in our life. And there's so many stories of people that are able to heal, you know, terminal diseases and stuff. And even if we don't, one of the things that I always emphasize when I talk to people about, you know, using the mind to heal is sometimes we think healing means getting rid of the disease. Sometimes not. And one of my first students was this wonderful man named Mark, and he had AIDS, and this was long before the cocktail. And we talked at great length about, you know, the disease process and stuff. And what he did is he absolutely embraced the fact that he had this condition in his body, and he never fought it. What he did is he absolutely, passionately lived life. And I watched him create an absolutely wonderful life for himself. And he lived for about 5 years and pretty much symptom-free, and then he got sick and he died within a month. And I worked with other people that fought the disease and you know, did affirmations and really and didn't allow themselves to enjoy life. And I watched them sometimes waste away for years and, you know, wind up in the hospital for months suffering and really dying a painful death. And Mark taught me a very valuable lesson. It's not necessarily the outcome. It's the experience of the journey. And so using our mind to really celebrate and embrace whatever is, and sometimes it looks like, the, you know, our body is perfectly healthy, and sometimes not, you know, because life is, after all, a fatal disease. We all get to be born, and we all get to die. And it's, what are we going to fill those two events up, you know, the area in between those two events? What are we going to fill our lives up with?
You have a Zen saying in your book about enlightenment. Before enlightenment, there is chopping wood and carrying water. And after enlightenment, there is chopping wood and carrying water.
Mm-hmm.
The main difference between before and after is your ability to be in the present moment and enjoy the process.
Yep.
And I think that's so true. I loved your story about you and your mom and the carrots.
Oh.
And you need to share that.
Sure. Yeah, when I was a little kid, my mother decided she wanted me to understand that food came from someplace other than the grocery store. So she planted some carrots out in the backyard. And I would go out every few days, and I'd pull the carrots up to see if they were done yet. And my mom couldn't figure out why the carrots kept dying. And one day she looked out the window, and there I was pulling them up. And so she went out. She explained to me if I did that, that the carrots would die. And, you know, to this day, I use that oftentimes, because there's so many times where my impatience wants me to pull up the carrots, where if I just have the patience to leave them in the ground a little bit longer, I get to have a really delicious vegetable. And so, you know, looking at our lives and really seeing how we do that, I mean, it's just, and as I look back, I mean, it's like certainly consistent with my personality, you know.
So that's a lesson your parents can share with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Children, don't pull up the carrots before the time.
Yep.
It's a lesson in patience. You
that
also
sure is.
Share a story about one of your mentors. And your mentor told you never to share yourself. And by the way, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with Susan Gregg and her book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Short Meditations. And believe me, you are not an idiot if you read the book. It is just absolutely insightful. She has all kinds of exercises. But she has had her own journey. Not only is she a teacher at this time and one that shares her wisdom with so many, but this book has a lot of wonderful lessons in it that I think anybody could benefit from. This mentor had told you never to share yourself, and that really surprised you.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, he was an extremely giving and loving man, and he told me one day, he said, never share of your essence. And I was like, what do you mean? And so I had learned over the years to ask him for clarification, and he said, yeah, never share of the essence of who and you, what you are. He said, only share of the overflow. He said, otherwise you'll burn yourself out. He said, always maintain your connection to your divinity. Always make sure that you have ways to fill your cup and to keep yourself full, and then freely give of the overflow. And after I understood that, it was so clear, because you know, in the healing professions, a lot of times you see that. People are so busy giving that they burn themselves out. Whereas if we take the time, even for moms, I mean, moms are busy people, you know, and a lot of times when women work with me that have young children, it's like, well, how can I possibly take time to nurture myself? I have to take care of my family. And one of the things that I always tell them that the best gift they can give to their children is to be a role model of self-love and self-care. Because if you really care for yourself, if you really keep your cup full, then you have more than enough to give to others.
That is so true. You also address an issue of what do we really want as individuals. And I like the exercises that you give throughout your book.
Mm-hmm.
You also have, in this section, I'm going to quote directly, a practice asking yourself, what do I want right now? When you find yourself saying what you don't want, think about what it is you do want.
Mm-hmm.
Always focus your attention on what you want with the understanding that at some level you already have it, or you wouldn't have a reason to have the desire. You have a delightful story of three boxes in your book. Could you share
that? I'm sorry, you broke up. I didn't hear what you said before.
Okay, you have a wonderful story in your book about the three boxes. There's a genie.
Uh-huh.
Would you share that with my audience?
Sure. I'm lost right now because I'm in the midst of, just a little aside here, I got a contract to write a book on angels and saints and deities, and so I've been doing that, and they asked me if I could finish the book in a week instead of 3 months. And so my mind is in that arena, so for some reason, the genie, I remember the story, but I can't remember what it was
okay,
about. I just remember the three boxes. And
this is on page 69 of your book.
Okay.
One night, a magic genie shows up and gives you three wishes. And your
okay.
first wish is to be loved. And he raises his hand over your head. And what happens?
Okay. Can I tell you another version of that
sure.
I just put in my new book?
Sure.
Okay. The genie shows up, and he offers and there's a variation on the story, and there's three people, and they help him out a great deal. And he says, okay, you know, you each have three wishes. So the first man said, I want money. I want more money than I could possibly imagine. And so the genie says, okay, and poof, and the guy is sitting there, and this is back in horse-drawn carriage days, so he's got a carriage that's filled to the gunwale with gold, and off he goes. And the genie kind of looks sad as he goes off. And then the next man was like, okay, what I want is I want to be handsome. I want to really be desired by women and just be incredibly successful. So the genie again looks a little bit sad, and he says to him, okay, poof. And sure enough, you know, I mean, he's just incredibly handsome, and people start coming up to him and asking him for his opinion and his wisdom. And he goes off, and it looks really, really sad. And the last man, he finally says, okay, what wish do you want? And the man thought about it for a while, and he said, you know what I want? He says, I want to be grateful for whatever's in my life. And the genie goes over, and he gives him a big hug, and he said, poof. And And, you know, the man is incredibly grateful, and he's just, the genie is just dancing for joy. And the man was like, well, what's that about? He said, well, I looked into the future, and I could see the point where the other man would no longer have money, and not much would have changed about his life. And eventually the other man is going to grow old, and people will find other people that they're more interested in, and he's going to lose it. He says, but you, he says, you, my son, he said, since you've asked for gratitude, your life will always be wonderful, and then you'll always be happy. And then poof, off goes the genie into the sunset. And I think that's so true of our lives. You know, a lot of times we ask for things expecting them to give us something that they don't give us. So kind of a similar story, just a little bit variation on it.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
I think that your book on the short meditations, and you had a section where you talked about how you got rid of migraines because of meditation. Share with us what you used as a technique.
Sure. I had migraines for a number of years, and this was long before they developed any drugs to help them. And I took a class, and they showed us this process. And I share it in my book, and it's really, really simple. And it's a matter of really modifying our words, you know, and so what it is, it's about going into a meditation and really getting into the center of your being and acknowledging that, you know, my head really hurts. I mean, this is really painful. And then when you allow yourself, and, you know, you kind of allow the pain to diminish, and there's a couple of different things you can do with pain. One of the things I find helpful is when I'm having some kind of pain is to think about what color it is and then play with the colors, you know, maybe make the color brighter or make it darker or make it more vibrant or just change the color and then think about the shape. And for some people, when you make the shape smaller, the pain goes away. Some people, it gets more intense. And sometimes you can make it bigger and the pain dissipates. So with migraines, one of the things I did is I went into this meditation and I acknowledged how painful it was, and I played with the pain a little bit, and I let it get bigger, and then I let it get smaller. And then as I was coming out of the meditation, what I affirmed to myself was that I was leaving the discomfort behind. And the difference there was when I was in the meditation, I was acknowledging the pain, but as I left behind the discomfort. And I did that a number of times, and I hadn't had migraines for over 20 years, and not too long ago, I started to have a headache, and I was like, something about this is familiar, and I realized it was a migraine, and I rapidly did my little meditation, and it was gone. And so really using, our mind knows how to create things like migraines, and it also knows how to let go of things like migraines. And practicing a simple meditation like that a number of times will really allow you to teach your body to do something other than create migraines when you have stress. So it's really, really powerful.
Through your book, you have many stories, you have many examples of various ways that one can meditate. It doesn't have to take an hour. You can take a moment, 30 seconds, a minute. You can shift your mind into that altered state. You talk about life's a journey, not a destination, and you say the only regret you have about your life at this time is that you've often failed to allow yourself to enjoy each and every step of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many of us would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you feel, is important. Being present in the now, right, with where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like right now, as I shared with you, I'm in the process of writing this book, and originally, they wanted me to write it in 3 months, and then they said, well, can you have it done by the end of August? And I thought, sure. And, you know, time is growing short here. And I could certainly experience stress and being overwhelmed and, oh, I'm never going to do this, or I could allow myself to enjoy the process. And that's what I keep bringing myself back to, is like, no, I'm just going to allow myself to enjoy the process. And right now I'm in the process of writing about the deity, so I'm really enjoying getting to know all these different gods and goddesses. And no matter what's in our life, even if it's what we consider a tragedy, we can still allow ourselves to enjoy the process. And a lot of times people will take umbrage with that. It's like, well, what do you mean enjoy the process of, you know, experiencing loss or you know, ending a relationship or anything like that. And we only have this very moment, and I think life is such an emotionally rich experience, and giving ourselves permission to savor those experiences. You know, we pay good money to go to the movies,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we'll sit there and we'll cry at a sad movie, or we'll laugh at a funny one, or smile when somebody falls in love. And just, you know, for that hour and a half, 2 hours, we really allow ourselves to get into the experience, and we let all of our emotions go up and down, and most of the time we walk out of the movie theater, and then we go on about our lives. Part of what I have found in life is if I really allow myself to fully experience whatever is, just like I do in the movie theater, I can get on with my life. And by that, I mean I don't have to keep making myself miserable about something. I can experience, you know, I had recently one of my favorite pets, my little doggie was 16 and a half years old, and I had to have her put down. And when I had to have her put to sleep, I cried, and I experienced the sadness. And then I went on with my life, and I now have the joyful remembrance of having her. And certainly I miss her fuzzy little body, but I don't have to make myself miserable because she died. I can just acknowledge that, okay, you know, death is part of life, and I can, and it's very different for me because in the past, you know, I would have a protracted period of sadness after I lost one of my pets, but with my little Muffy, I was just able to really allow myself to be sad and very rapidly begin to be happy about having had her rather than focusing on being sad about having lost her. So it's amazing how just modifying what we tell ourselves and how we hold on to it, what a difference that makes in our life.
I like your section on letting it be easy. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but you make the comment that you constantly hear people talk about how hard life is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do that because we've been indoctrinated with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that life doesn't have its challenges, but if you constantly focus on, gee, it's tough, gee, it's tough. I know because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. You're never going to be able to make it. You go there, then all of a sudden it's exactly what you're really not wanting that's occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an excellent section on that. And then I would like to also give the quote that you have by Buddha. It is wrong to think misfortunes come from the east or from the west. They originate within one's own mind. Therefore, it is foolish to guard against misfortune from the external world and live the inner mind uncontrolled.
Mm-hmm.
That is tremendous, tremendous wisdom.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I love most about, because this is the second Idiot's Guide that I've written, is they give you the opportunity to include quotes. And that's one of the things I did that really helped me early on in my process was I used to collect quotes and I'd stick them up all over the place, you know. And that's one of the things I love about this book is there's just lots of my favorite quotes. And I think there are ways that you can kind of, you know, in those moments where it feels hard, I used to have a pack of index cards with my quotes on it. When it felt hard, I'd read my index cards, and before you knew it, it didn't feel hard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I could really enjoy things.
Right. And I think enjoying the moment and not, you know, not looking at, gee whiz, I'll wait until the perfect day comes. Enjoying what you've got now. You don't know what's going to be around within 24 hours. And if you wait, you may miss the boat entirely. It's
mm-hmm.
living in the now. Susan, do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, it's SusanGregg.com, and it's that's SusanGregg, two Gs, .com.
SusanGregg.com, and you've got a book that's going to be coming out regarding goddesses, deities of different types. You'll have to send me a copy. I would love to.
Yeah, it's going to be an encyclopedia of angels, archangels, deities, ascended masters, and saints.
Ooh.
Yes, it's going to be one that's going to be fully illustrated, my first illustrated book, so I'm
Ooh,
excited.
How fun.
Yeah.
Well, Susan, it's been delightful having you as a guest. Your website is SusanGregg.com. That's SusanGregg. Do you have a little bit of wisdom in about 15 seconds before we close out?
I think the greatest gift we can give ourselves is to be grateful for whatever is and to just really, really love ourselves.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Just give yourself a hug.
I agree. Because if you can't appreciate yourself, then how are you really going to be able to have very much to give to other people and also to appreciate others as well? I think it's the full circle there. Susan, it's been a delight having you as a guest. For those of you listening, again, her website, SusanGregg.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. Call 877-876-5227 in the U.S. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a number for everyone else of 530-876-3222. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll tell you what I perceive. And after that, you're welcome to ask a question. Talking about focusing, how about focusing on different things in everyday life? Well, there was a young lady by the name of Jane. She wondered if she had made a mistake by accepting a promotion to supervise her work team. When she had gotten the job, she began to feel a stress level that was quite high. In fact, it was getting to be so high that she went into her manager, whose name was Brenda, in another department, and she said, "I might have made a mistake. I am so in over my head." Well, her manager listened to what Jane had to say, and she said, "Okay, I want you to take a deep breath." Take a deep breath. So Jane did exactly that. She said, "Take another deep breath." Jane took another deep breath. She said, "Now I want you to know everything's going to be just fine." Well, Jane started getting a little bit agitated again. She said, "Well, at least one of us is confident." She said, "I haven't filled all the orders. Paperwork is stacking up. I just started. And I'm so far behind." Well, Brenda looked her straight in the eye and said, "This is your chance to shine. You've worked on the production team. You already know the strengths and weaknesses in your own department." And Jane nodded. She said, "Yes, you are absolutely true. I know all of that." And she said, "All right, now I don't want you to dwell on the problems. I want you to focus all of your energy on solutions. We already know that everything's backed up. What's it going to take to get it back on track?" Jane said, "It's going to take elbow grease and perseverance." And Brenda looked at her and said, "Well, what are you waiting for?" Well, by the end of the day, Jane stopped by Brenda's office, knocked on the door and said, "You got a minute?" And Brenda said, "Yes, I do." Jane said, "I took your advice, and I wanted you to know it's already working." All of us stopped obsessing about what was going wrong. We got together, started talking out loud about what needed to be done, and we were able to buckle down and complete large portions of our project. And once that started to happen, the progress we made motivated us to get everything done. Brenda was thrilled. This is what she expected to be the result. Jane said, "I really appreciate the wonderful advice you gave me, because that simple shift in focus you encouraged was all it took to turn a disaster waiting to happen into a success." How many times have you been in a very agitated state? Your emotions have just taken you on a mental journey, a spin, and you just feel like you're drowning. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. And you might be fortunate enough to have a person say to you, "What's the worst thing that could happen?" And that's exactly what my mentor said to me many years ago. I was in a very, very bad situation on a personal level, in my mind's view. And I was getting so agitated over it, and I would talk to her, and it was just, the more I talked about it, the more agitated I got, and the more I could see worst-case scenarios, just horrible things occurring. So when she popped out the question, "Wow, what is the worst possible thing that you could imagine happening with this?" And I just shut up for a moment, and all of a sudden my mind was just going on its little tailspin, and I said, "Wow, this is what's the worst case scenario." And she looked at it in her mind, and she evaluated it, and she said, "Well, that's not going to happen. So why not go take care of what needs to be taken care of?" It's a little bit of a twist on the story that I just shared with you. But my mentor, Gloria, said to me, "Go ahead and look at the worst case scenario. And you're going to find, usually 9.98 times out of 10, it's not going to happen. But we often bring into our space those components that can make it so hideously bad, because that's what we're focusing on." And that's what this program is a little bit about today, because you want to be aware that you're the only one that has the capacity to control your mind. We're all going to get behind in something. We're all going to be frustrated. I was visiting with some people today, and there was conversation about housekeeping came up and how things can often be in disarray so quickly. And she said, "I had a saying that I put up on my refrigerator. If you want to come to visit me, come anytime. If you're coming to visit my house, make an appointment." I just love that. I thought that was the best thing I'd ever heard. And the truth is that when you're living in a moment, when you are visiting with people in a moment, if you're there with that person, you're going to be visiting with that person. The other things sort of disappear into nothingness. If you're going for another reason, if you're going for another agenda, then that gives you a different perspective. And it's all where you put your attention. It really is so very important to be aware of that. So today, as you go about your business, keep your attention where you want it to be. If you're trying to find a job and maybe you've had some rejections, just know that those rejections, yes, they are rejections, but it's not the end of the world. There are tens of thousands of jobs where people are needed, and you just need to keep being aware that there is that right and perfect job for you, and you stay focused on what it is that's really most important to you and what it is you want to do. It's the same thing if you're wanting to trim down. How do you see yourself? Well, be aware you stay in the present moment. If you end up having a brownie, don't go, "Oh, my goodness, I've failed, I'm disastered, big time, everything is waste," and then go back into a bad patterning of eating habits, perhaps. What you want to do is say, "Well, I've enjoyed this, I have savored this, it is really delicious, and it's going to do me for the day." It's amazing what we can do with our attitudes, our minds, and it is something that keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. And some of us will say, "Oh, I've heard that before." But are you paying attention? Are you really utilizing it. It's so important to know that. Be present with where you are and with what it is that you're wanting to accomplish. And know that as you focus on what you really want and you hold that in your mind and your heart, it's going to manifest. And sometimes it's going to manifest in the most phenomenal ways that you could never in a million years think up on your own. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. And I see this happening time and time and time and time again. So part of it is learning to trust your intuition, learning to rely on this inner knowingness that is within yourself. You'll know if you're in the right place, the right time, and the right situation. Things occur. And people will say to me, oh, Donna, it's just you. You're just so lucky. Well, not really. In many things, I have found that I've tried so hard, and this has been my experience, I've tried so hard to make something happen, never happens. Because I'm trying too hard. I am trying to control it. When I release it and I let it go and say, okay, and toss it out to the universe, say, look, I've worked on this sucker for so long and I haven't been able to get any results. Hey, come on. I'm going to turn it over to you. Put your order into the customer service department of the universe. Oh, I know their lines are frequently busy and you may not get anybody talking to you for a while. And, of course, I'm being a little facetious there. But there are times in life where we really feel like all phone lines and connections to whatever is just not working. Well, sometimes it's good that it's not. Maybe you're having to acquire discipline. Maybe you're having to acquire patience. Maybe you're having to acquire a different perspective and understanding. And also maybe things are going on in the different part of the world that have to be changed before you're going to be able to have the ripple effect come into your space. Lots of things happening. And so often, we get so caught up in our own smallness of expectation, we don't allow for the bigness of opportunity to be there for us. So that's what I want to encourage you to realize. Now, I want to thank those of you who are sending me emails and wonderful stories. And I want to say I received this wonderful item from Susie. I liked it so much that I thought I would share it with you because I think it's right in the general theme of our programming today. It's titled, What Will Matter? Ready or not, someday it will all come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no minutes, hours, or days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, fame, and temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, resentments, frustrations, and jealousies will finally disappear. So, too, your hopes, ambitions, plans, and to-do lists will expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or what side of the tracks you lived at the end. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom, and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance, but of choice. Choose to live a life that matters. The author is Michael Josephson. It is absolutely a wonderful statement. And I think if we can keep that in the forefront of our mind, what is our legacy going to be? What do we want to leave behind? $1 million? What about a wonderful legacy where your essence, who you were as a person, changed a person's life? You gave a smile to a stranger, made a difference with someone because of your thoughtfulness. Or maybe you taught someone how to live better. There are so many things you can leave as a legacy that'll be worth far more than all the money in the world. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. If you would like to give me a call, telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., Canada, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. By the way, I want to let you know that I am going to be appearing in San Francisco the 15th and 16th of September. For those of you who are listening in Northern California, I will be speaking at the Wisdom Festival at 7 in the evening on September the 15th. So go to wisdomfestival.com and you'll be able to get all of the information you need about this wonderful event. It's going to be held at the Fort Mason Center in downtown San Francisco, right there by the water. And I'm really looking forward to this. The invitation was extended to me, and I'm just delighted to be able to be a participant in this wonderful event. Also, I am going to be going to Alaska. I will be giving you more information for those of you who are listening in the far north. I will be appearing in both Fairbanks and Anchorage, and this will be during the month of October. We don't have the exact time frame down. Also, I will be traveling to New York City to do an appearance in New York City in October as well. So those dates will be given in my upcoming newsletter. All of those time frames will be covered, so you will be able to have access to that. And for those of you who might want to subscribe to the newsletter, or if you want to know how you can go to it, all you have to do is email me. If you'd like to subscribe to the monthly the Donna Sebo newsletter, all you do is to go to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. And you'll be able to get the information there. As to just go over to the left side of the screen, you'll see newsletter pop there, and all this information is there. Also, my webmaster will be putting up my itinerary on the calendar as I'm able to get it to her. So those are the upcoming events, and if you want to give me a call before the end of the hour for some insight, call me at 877-876-5227. It's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking food. And for those of you who maybe are not so excited about vegetables, well, we've got something on vegan vittles. Jo Stepaniak is going to be my guest. And she is a lady that just loves cooking with vegetables. And we're going to be talking about the benefits of that, but also how they can taste good. You don't need to boil them until they're mush. You don't have to just season them with salsa. You can do all kinds of things where you have delicious vegetables that are going to make you feel better, but also taste the wonderful on your palate. And the next week, we've got a good lineup of people. We're going to be talking with Dr. Marvin, who has been very deeply involved with glyconutrients. We're going to be talking about nutrition and you. This is a subject area that is very close to my heart, so I'm looking forward to talking to this wonderful man. His medical background, my goodness, he's been a forensic pathologist. He's been involved in pharmacology. He's been a family physician. He just retired from being a full-time physician in 2005, but he goes around educating people on nutrition. So we're going to be talking with him on Monday. And then next Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Christine Wondrilek and her daughter, Constance Curry. The material is titled The Lost Years. This is a book that I think is absolutely phenomenal about a mother and a daughter and the challenges that they evolved through. It is something that will touch your heart, your mind, and it deals very much with the world today. And sometimes it's very dark aspects and how you can overcome it. Then we're going to be talking about A Woman's Guide to Manifestation with Bianca Guerra. And she is going to be giving us some insights about how we can manifest what we want. And hey, guys, you're welcome to listen in. We don't mind. It's just something that she decided she was going to orient towards women because lots of times women don't give themselves permission to make it okay that they can manifest what it is they desire. So we've got a great lineup next week and some other special things that are going to be going on. So just know, right here at bbsradio.com, you know you're going to hear good stuff, same time, same place, right here on The Donna Sebo Show. And again, thank you very much for sending me the emails and the stories. I'm getting to as many of them as I possibly can, and it's just a delight to be able to share them as I am able to as we go along with our programming daily. When we were talking earlier about only giving to yourself, remember when I was talking with Susan about what her mentor told her, that she needed to be totally focused on herself and not to give herself away? So often we're indoctrinated to do that. And often, as she said, women get so busy with doing different things, and guys can do the same thing. They can do the same thing. They can get so involved in their businesses, etc., they don't have any time for themselves. In fact, I'm going to talk about a guy named Eric Elkins. And he is a vice president of marketing for a startup business. And this is a guy that he found he was on a treadmill that was going nowhere. He didn't have time for anything. He said, I'm so busy being busy and trying to figure out how to not be busy and getting busier because of trying to figure out how not to be busy. He said it was just absolutely time to put on the brakes. And he said, my job was the one constant in my life. Everything else was all over the place. He said, I got a divorce. I have split custody with my daughter. So for half the week and every other weekend, my spare time revolves around her. And he said, the rest of my time goes to dating, maybe going to church and seeing friends and freelance writing. But he said, I never have enough time for everything I love, let alone the things that simply have to get done. Guess what he has to deal with as a single dad? Housework. Yes, we ladies can relate to that. He said, I'm so busy doing housework on nights and weekends. He said, I feel like I'm always doing laundry or cleaning my apartment. Gee, that sounds familiar. Well, he said he was putting on the back burner the quality time with his daughter, especially on weeknights. And he said, by the time we usually get home, I have dinner and clean up, it's already time to go to bed. So this is something that was said to him. He was advised by someone to delegate and dedicate weekends to his daughter, absolutely first. And he said, I would turn off the computer, we'd leave the house, and we'd go to the park. He said, I am amazed about how I can shift things. I learned to leave the house a little bit earlier, leave the office a little bit earlier, so wouldn't have so much commuter time. And he said, also, he decided he was going to hire a housekeeper to be able to keep things in order. He started learning how to delegate. He said, it is a lot easier when I can really look at how I can manage things. And you know what? You need to always make time for those special people in your life. Believe me, you can get so busy being busy. I know, because it happens to me. And I have to mentally say, wait a minute, is this going to matter 5 days from now? Is this a life-threatening situation? And most of the time, it's not. So lots of times, it's just changing a little thing. And asking for help sometimes, it can make a big difference. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. I'm so appreciative. Susan, Greg, I appreciate all of you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take a little bit of time. Meditate. Take time to appreciate who you are, where you are, and the fact that you've been given this glorious thing called life, and you're meant to live it with joy. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.